Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
What's up, everybody? Welcome in on this Sunday night to the Red Bull Report. My name is Michael Borky. Really appreciate you being here. And we start with just incredibly sad and tragic news about Ole Miss football tonight, as you all have seen by now. Corey Adams, the incoming freshman from Louisiana, has been killed over the weekend in some degree of senseless act, a senseless act of violence. And there were other Ole Miss players there, possibly one was injured as well, but everybody else seemingly okay from that. I don't know the exact details of who and exactly what happened, so we're just going to avoid speculating on anything else besides the confirmed news tonight, if that's okay with you guys. Just an incredibly sad deal, and it's one of those things where like you're just sitting, like just scrolling Twitter, watching the Open, and like this news like just pops up, right? And it's a surreal thing because you don't think that things like that actually happen until they do. You know, it's a shocking thing. I mean, this is an Ole Miss football player, a young one, albeit one that hasn't been in the program very long, but that makes it all the more tragic. Just a young person who had clearly worked hard in their life to achieve what is an incredible goal at becoming an SEC football player, and to have that tragically taken away from him is just so painfully sad and tragic, and all of the adjectives that you can use to describe something so awful. There's really no words that you can say other than that. Just if you are the praying type, I hope you'll join me after this and lifting one up for him, for his family, his friends, his former teammates, and people from his community back home, and his current teammates at Ole Miss, and praying for their healing and strength through an otherwise incredibly tragic and unfortunate situation. I will be praying for him. I hope you guys will join me in that after we hang up tonight as well. Again, we're not going to speculate on why it happened. I saw way too much of that online. The internet is truly a disgusting place, but we're just not going to do that here. What we know is a young man's life was taken far too soon by a senseless situation. So God be with him and everybody around him, and Ole Miss football as they navigate through something like this. So that there's no easy way to transition out of something so horrible. So we're just going to try our best and just push forward, even though his football team is going to have a lot of questions and the sad reality of something like this is that the impact that it has on so many people around him, and you hope that they can find their way. Young people should not be faced with something like this, and here they are. So again, just praying for them all. This is the Rebel Report podcast. Again, my name is Michael Borky. I hope you guys enjoyed the player interviews that we had from Media Days. I still have more content to bring you from SEC Media Days. That interview with David Cutcliffe was, I thought, just outstanding. He was awesome, truly awesome, and just a class guy, and what a unique situation that they've got in their family with a former Ole Miss coach's son is coaching the current Ole Miss coach's son. Really fascinating situation there. So I hope you guys enjoyed that. Again, all three players that you heard in the interviews were outstanding. I mean, you you forget sometimes that they're human beings and not football playing robots. Although I'm sure you guys appreciated Austin Simmons's answer. One of my favorite things to ask players is, when you're not doing this thing, what are you doing? And Austin Simmons's answer was basically, when I'm not doing football, I'm doing football. That guy is as locked in as and laser focused as you possibly could be. And Caden Lee, very engaging, funny, talking about putting on weight and how to do that. And TJ Dottery, just positive. You know, you felt positive energy and positive vibe from him. So hope you guys enjoyed that. Still have more coming from Media Days. But for now, we're talking about what happened at Media Days, the predicted order of finish in the SEC and the all SEC teams. And I think that they're with one of the players that Ole Miss had selected on the preseason all SEC team. I think that there's a reason why, and it's not a good reason when you look at it from the media media perspective. So we're talking about that tonight on this edition of the show. Don't forget to subscribe wherever you get them. Just search Rebel Report, subscribe, and leave a rating and a review if you like what you hear. And also, this podcast is brought to you in part by Toyota of Brookhaven. Check them out online at toyotaofbrookhaven.com. And they're on exit 40 in Brookhaven. So if you live in the area, but if you want a car buying experience that will be conducted by people that will actually take care of you like a person and not just dollar signs, that's what will happen at Toyota of Brookhaven. If you tell them that I sent you, you'll get $1,000 on me. $1,000 on me if you just tell them that I sent you on any in-stock new Toyota. Also have a service department, 7A7P, and they will take care of any make or model. They have a great new and used inventory, in-house financing, and more at Toyota of Brookhaven. Again, tell them that I sent you. They will deliver. So the preseason media poll came out. Ole Miss did get one vote to be SEC champion. It was not me. It was not me. I did not vote Ole Miss to win the SEC. I voted for them to be a little bit higher than they actually were. So here's how the poll shook out. You guys have seen it by now, but just to hash it, Texas number one, Georgia two, Alabama three, and LSU four. I was very surprised, to be honest with you, even though the margin was incredibly close, that Alabama was ahead of LSU. You guys know me. I am not a big believer in Brian Kelly. He has proven nothing to me at this point to say that he's going to take LSU to the next level, and that's a program that should exclusively live at the next level. And yet he has not taken them there yet. I know they're spending like mad almost to help him win despite himself, but I have no idea why Alabama is ahead of LSU in this poll, but they are. South Carolina 5, Florida 6, Ole Miss 7, A&M 8, Tennessee 9, Oklahoma 10, Auburn 11, Missouri 12, Vanderbilt 13, Arkansas 14, Kentucky 15, Mississippi State 16. I'll be honest with you guys. I think Missouri is not getting the love or the respect that I think that they deserve. I don't know why. I think if you're looking for anybody that will dramatically overachieve their preseason all-SEC rankings, I think Missouri would be a really good choice for that. I think Pribula is going to be quite good. Drinkwitz has been pretty darn good there, and I like them. But anyway, we're here to talk about Ole Miss, of course, and Ole Miss at 7. Personally, I had them at 5 is where I had Ole Miss. I had them ahead of Florida and South Carolina, two teams in which they will play at home this season. The margin's not particularly high. So this will tell you how close Florida and Ole Miss were. Florida had 1,986 points, and Ole Miss had 1,979 points. So that shows you how close they were. South Carolina had 2,109. So still not too terribly far from them. There's a pretty wide gap between LSU, South Carolina, Florida, and Ole Miss in that group. But I had Ole Miss at 5. Are they underrated? I do think so. I really think that Ole Miss is underrated here. What is happening, and it's fair, though. Like, I think they're underrated, but I do think that this ranking is fair. I have no qualms whatsoever with anybody that has Ole Miss at 7, right? I think it's totally fair. There is a lot of reasons that go into doubting Ole Miss in 2025. Losing a first-round pick at quarterback, the Chargers already love Trey Harris. Jordan Watkins tore it up in minicamp and OTAs in San Francisco. You lose everything that they lost on defense. An All-American middle linebacker, four starters on the defensive line, what should have been a first-round pick defensive back that's going to be a starter probably day one for Washington, and Amos, who was a second-round pick, as you guys know. I mean, they had to kind of flip the personnel defensively, at least from a starter perspective. So it's totally within bounds, and it's totally fair to have questions about Ole Miss going into 2025. When I saw them at 7, I was like, oh, yeah, that makes sense. That is totally fine. There's no disrespect. There's no snub. None of that. This is exactly appropriate for what we know about Ole Miss. Like, and by we, I mean the media from like a national perspective, 30,000 foot view. What we know about Ole Miss is that they lost a ton. And we don't know yet if they have adequately replaced them or not. Now, if you, like you guys, you talk about and think about and know about your program every single day, you know that the defensive line is filled with blue chip talent. I've said it to you 100 times. I'll say it again. Every player in Ole Miss is too deep on the defensive line is a former 4- or 5-star player, like elite talent on the defensive line. From the 30,000 foot view, you'd think, ah, oh, well, Austin Simmons talented, but he's barely played. And that is accurate. That is true. But you don't know how just truly in love with Austin Simmons, apparently the coaching staff seems to be. Wide receiver is another one. While they lose Trey Harris and Jordan Watkins, two objectively high-level wide receivers, but they've possibly upgraded at wide receiver with Stribling and Wallace and now Caden Lee fitting into an even larger role, even though he caught 900 yards worth of passes last year. Things like that. So this is an appropriate ranking. Are they underrated? I think so. It's totally fine, though. It's absolutely fine to sit there where they are, especially being ahead of A&M and Tennessee. Perfectly fine. Ole Miss got a lot of respect walking around and talking to people at media days. There was a lot of benefit of the doubt being given to Ole Miss around media days, and they've earned that, right? Lane Kiffin, 39 wins in 4 years, all the stuff that we repeat all the time. But that consistency over the last 4 years is resonating around people that cover the program, and all you have to do is keep winning, right? The next step is make the playoff. You continue to build and you continue to win consistently, and you're going to continue to get more and more respect. If you think about everything that Ole Miss lost, preseason number 7 in the SEC by 7 points, and they're going to be a preseason top 25 team. I will almost guarantee you that they'll be ranked in the preseason top 25. They are getting respect. They have earned respect, and they're getting it. Not in the same way that Alabama undeservedly gets put in front of LSU going into the season, but they are getting just that. So I don't think this is anything to be bothered by. In fact, I think this is kind of an indicator that people are starting to respect what Ole Miss football has become under Lane Kiffin. The other thing were the all-SEC teams. Ole Miss only had 4 selections in the preseason all-SEC team. So Tarian Perkins was second team all-SEC. I'll be honest with you guys. I don't think that he should be second team. I had him first team, especially since they're listing him as linebacker. Harold Perkins also listed on the second team. If you asked Pete Golding right now, because the first team linebackers were Anthony Hill, great player at Texas, C.J. Allen at Georgia, and Whit Weeks at LSU. If you gave Pete Golding the option, you can have Whit Weeks or Santarian Perkins. Whit Weeks or Santarian, who do you think he would have chosen? I think he would choose Santarian Perkins personally, but whatever. Second team preseason all-SEC for him. And Lucas Carniero, I will make sure that I am able to pronounce his name correctly when he actually kicks a football for Ole Miss. But the kicker, actually, second team preseason all-SEC, was exceptional, as you guys know, in his previous stop. His numbers are actually kind of shocking. Ole Miss could have signed a really quality kicker if that continues in 25. Third team, Xavien Harris. I actually liked seeing Xavien Harris on there, getting some deserved love going into 2025, especially for a guy that when he played, he was awesome. And that's a thing for Ole Miss too, is when you look at somebody like him, like he played a lot last year. And when he did, that defensive line, like they didn't really miss a beat, right? He is, there's a chance. He's got the physical tools to become a truly dominating force on the inside of the defensive line. He's not Walter Nolan, but they don't have the same play style either. But it was good and deserved to give him that preseason love. And then this one kind of cracked me up a little bit. Prince Will Umanmielen was picked preseason third team All-SEC. And forgive me for being flippant. That's totally because media members are mistaking him for his brother, right? Like that's totally what's happening here, right? They saw the Umanmielen name and thought, and were too lazy to look it up and thought, ah, well, I didn't know Princely was back, and then went ahead and clicked him. I mean, maybe he is an unbelievable player, right? And maybe people know something that I don't, I guess, because again, they signed him because he's got a high level upside from a talent perspective, hasn't proven it on the field in a way that should get him all SEC preseason nods, at least in my opinion. Anyway, I really do think that this is a product of people mistaking him for his brother. I really do. Again, he could end up being a great player. He could end up being a great player. I think that this is a product of mistaken identity here. Few snubs, a few guys that I think that maybe belonged on these lists that did not, quite frankly, Dottery being one. I think TJ Dottery absolutely could have. He was on my ballot, absolutely could have and should have made at least third team preseason all SEC. I think that was a bit of a loss there. I understand why this guy didn't make it. I do think that by the end of the season, Dejon Stribling is somebody that I keep talking about because everybody keeps talking about him. Could be a guy that very well lands himself really high on one of these lists. Caden Lee, another one that currently not. I understand why he wasn't, although, again, almost 900 yards receiving a year ago. So, you know, he would have earned it if he got it. But both of them are guys that did not end up on this list that very well could by season's end. And then either tight end that they, I think, are going to be quite good in that room. As I've told you before, the pass catchers for Ole Miss look to be really, really high quality. So anyway, just a few snubs. Again, it's preseason stuff. It's media vote. I mean, you can clearly tell how much effort was put into these kind of things. Again, I think Dottery kind of belonged there. And again, had my vote, but otherwise it's fine. There's a lot of talent on that offense. It all comes down to whether or not the offensive line can take a step forward in a way that they could not a year ago, but nothing wrong really with these preseason all SEC teams. It's a fun little thing to look at. It's a fun thing to do. It's a fun exercise. I think the Big 12 is an absolute joke for taking the preseason poll away because Arizona State went from worst to first last year. Those people have it so backwards. They talked about it so much. And they, like, the commissioner said that people use that as like a way to discredit Arizona State. I could not think more of the opposite. And I don't think college football fans at large found a way to disrespect Arizona State as a result of their preseason selection. It's a great story. We love stories. College sports are built on the underdog. That's why, like, that's the difference between college sports and pro sports at its core. It's not amateurism. It's never been amateurism. It's been, you have David versus Goliath stories every single week, and David wins a lot. That at its core, like, from a casual perspective, you love your team because you have a distinct connection to the institution, whether you went there yourself or your dad and your grandpa went there, whatever. Like, you have a connection to the school, and that's why you root for the school. But college sports are popular as a whole because of that. That's what separates college sports from professional sports, is you have the opportunity for David versus Goliath. That doesn't exist in pro sports. They're all billionaires, or they're all billion-dollar franchises. So that Arizona State storyline was awesome, and that's why they talked about it so much, because how cool is this? This team that nobody believed in, look at what they've become, and the Big 12 taking that away from us is so stupid. So this poll is useful. It's fun because you can look back, and if Ole Miss finishes fourth or they make the playoff, you can say, hey, nobody believed in them. They were picked to finish seventh. That's a cool storyline. You can use this if you're a coach to hang it up in lockers. Things like that. It's off-season content. That's all it is. And I enjoy it. And the Big 12 are a bunch of baby losers for taking that away from us. So anyway, we'll get to your comments after I tell you the podcast is brought to you in part by Advantage Business Systems. Check them out online at absms.com. Advantage Business Systems has you covered for all of your Mississippi office technology needs, anything from copiers and printers and mail machines to cloud storage, data security, IT projects, phone systems, whatever it is. If it's technology, if it's in the office and your Mississippi business needs it, check them out online at absms.com. Also, Priority One Bank. I'm going to my Priority One Bank location tomorrow. Actually, I've got some home maintenance stuff that I want to talk to them about. And they'll sit down with me face-to-face. And the person that I'm going to go see knows my name. They don't even know I'm coming, but I walk in and they'll say my name. Not because we have a partnership. She has no idea what I even really do for a living. But she knows me because I'm her priority, because it's in the name, Priority One Bank. Going to be a bit of a shorter episode tonight, guys. I'll read some comments, and then I got to get out of here. You will get another episode tomorrow as well. It will be recorded, will not be live, and then we will be live back again on Tuesday. So anyway, if Peyton would have been a Rebel, do you think Arch would be at Ole Miss? That's an interesting question. I don't know. I don't know if I should say this or not, because I don't know if it's true or not. I think in some way there is some degree of factor in why Arch Manning is not at Ole Miss. And there's some degree, some relative factor of that decision is because Lane Kiffin's at Ole Miss. I believe that to be true. I may be wrong. Call me crazy. Call me stupid. Whatever. I haven't heard it anonymously online before, so it'll happen again. But yeah, I do think Lane Kiffin's presence at Ole Miss is in part, whether it's everything or 1% of the reason why Arch Manning is not at Ole Miss. Had Ole Miss fifth personally, but don't really have a problem with seventh. Just don't know. And they're very close to Florida and South Carolina. Yeah, and right, wrong, or indifferent, people really believe in Lenora Sellers, and they really believe in DJ Lagway. And my gosh, I was really surprised, by the way, that Lenora Sellers was first team preseason all SEC. I know he's big, and I know he's athletic, and he was really impressive too. He's a sharp young guy. I liked him. Hearing from him, he's I get it. I get why people like him. He's very easy to like. And players do get better. Like it's fair to say, I wasn't all that impressed with him in 24, but he was young, making his first starts. That's the same thing I say to you guys about Austin Simmons. Like, if it's not perfect right away, that's okay. He needs to be allowed an opportunity to grow as a young quarterback. So does Lenora Sellers. He needs to be allowed the opportunity to grow. I didn't see preseason first team all SEC last year. I didn't see that. And Nussmeier is the only returning 4,000-yard passer in all of college football. He's the only one. And for him to not be – and I know he's mistake-prone, but for him to not be the first-team guy, I don't really understand that one either. But, I mean, it's just a preseason poll. Again, I am very convinced that a player made it on this poll because he's got a name that's close – to his brothers, who no longer plays college football. So that's about how seriously you should take this poll. Love the Cutcliffe interview. He was 3 years old when he left, so didn't know much about him. Seems like one of those guys who could tell hours and hours of great stories. That is the only problem with doing a quote unquote syndicated radio show is we have to be beholden to segment times. Little inside baseball for you guys. So like there are radio shows, like there are some that stick to hard breaks like us because we have 12 stations, and in order to do floating breaks where we just kind of decide whenever we're done and just throwing it to commercial, we would have to have somebody to be on a board for all 12 stations. In order to do that, you can't just click a button and it doesn't work like that. We would have to have somebody at each place listening to us and okay, commercial time, boom, and fire it, right? So we have to keep the structure of our segment links unless we want to employ 12 more people. And that's a crazy endeavor. If you just have one station, a producer, you know, one person hits one button and that's all you need, right? We would need 12. So we have to have a strict time limit on our segments, which it's good because we have a very awesome, large reach. And for that, we're very thankful. The only downside to it is that right there. So I could have sat and talked with him. And also media days also kind of forces you to limit the length of these conversations. I could have talked with him for an hour. And maybe I might effort that one day because he's just awesome. It really is. And you can hear still the passion in his voice. I mean, I honestly don't know how old he is. 70. He's 70 years old. Was a head coach in college football. He coached, 147 games of college football. His coaching career started in 1976 is when his career started. And you could hear it in his voice, the passion that he still has, especially like the annoyance that he has watching coaches coach their quarterbacks without explaining why. And honestly, like I said in the interview, that's a great parenting tip because I often run into issues with my son where if I'm just telling him no, without the why, he's like he doesn't get it. And so he'll go do it again because I didn't tell him, hey, here's why you don't do that. Using the why also creates a better listener with children. There's your parenting advice for the day for you. I shouldn't give any, but there is one. Even at a young age, don't just tell them no. Tell them no, and here's why. They listen better. My son listens better. And I forget that all the time. But hearing him talk about that reminded me of that. It's like you have these coaches that say, do this and do this, and not here's why you do this and here's why you do that. And how frustrated he's getting because he thinks you're not creating smarter football players because you're not explaining to them why they make decisions. Just here's what your decision is. Very interesting. And you could hear that passion still in his voice. But big fan of his. Getting closer and closer to real talk about this season. Yeah, so I believe Mississippi State is starting their training camp on July 31st, I believe is when Mississippi State is starting. I would assume Ole Miss is starting at or around the same day. So you're 2 weeks away is what you are. This week is kind of a dead week, to be honest. It's post-media days, but before training camp, things happen. Luckily, though, at least for us on the radio show, the NFL is starting training camp. All those guys are reporting, so we'll do some camp check-ins and stuff like that. But I do believe I think I'm right about State starting on the 31st. It's either the 31st or August 1st, one of the two. And I have not seen or gotten the official training camp timeline from Ole Miss yet. And if it works out, when they have the local media day, let's see. Michael Lasasso, Summer Circuit, Football Lanes 4. No, so I don't think that they have – I'm looking at all the PR emails right now. I say PR. It's like the, you know, SID emails. Nope, nothing yet. So when that gets announced, of course we'll talk about that too, because that's part of it. But if I can work it out, mostly if school has started with little one, when media day happens, like the local media day, I'm planning on being there for that. So we'll see. We'll see. It's got to be after July 31st if I want to go. But anyway, Trinquid seems to do very well in interviews nowadays. He forces it. He's goofy. He tries to be funny. And I like him. He comes off as likable. And I think that his football team is getting slept on in part because their schedule, and I'm not taking a shot, it's just how it is, the easiest in the SEC. It is. But back-to-back double-digit win seasons, there's a lot to like about his program in its current state. Ole Miss finishes top three in the SEC in rushing book market. People are a lot higher on this running back room than last year's, but here's, and it very well could be great. Here's what I'm concerned about, what I'm cautioning against, though. You don't hear anybody saying anything negative at all about what they're hearing about this football team. We've talked about the secondary. That's the position group that I'm the most concerned in. Like, I'm deeply concerned about the secondary. And they can prove me wrong. Like, there's some talent there, right? You've got multiple SEC transfers in the secondary. Like, there's a path for them to be fine there. There's totally a path there. But there's a reason to be concerned as well. Until the running game proves it, then I'm going to be skeptical. Until they prove it, I'm not going to sit here and start hyping up a bunch of guys that you haven't seen do it in an Ole Miss uniform. I don't think that's right. Considering that the position was poor a year ago, right? Like, I give the wide receivers grace because despite Juice Wells being a bad evaluation, he still caught over 500 yards worth of passes, right? And Watkins was really good last year. And when healthy, Harris was great. That position has not been a disaster like Ole Miss was in the running back room a year ago. So I don't think they've earned the benefit of the doubt. I don't think they've earned the benefit of the doubt on the offensive line. But this time of year, you know, just everybody, nobody's lost a game yet, right? Not a single team has lost a game. I'm weary of everything is awesome, every position's improved, every player's great type stuff. It's easy to say that now, but is that true? Are they actually really good at running back and now really good at offensive line and everything's fine? And you know what I mean? I'm a little bit skeptical of that kind of stuff. And it's totally unfair to the beat reporters that are trying to get information to give to their audience because they're not allowed to see. The NFL media gets to see practice. And if they see a defensive back getting beat, you know, in 7-on-7 repeatedly, well, hey, that guy's not performing very good in practice. It's easy because they can see it. The guys that cover the team don't get to see anything. So they're having to rely on information that at times is designed to be positive when it comes out, you know? They're put in an awful situation. People that cover the team from like a reporting perspective, not just a idiot yapper like me, are put in a no-win situation. Their readers or subscribers want information, but they're not allowed to watch anything. You know, it's impossible for them. You think Ole Miss keeps using different uniform combos since the schools are trying to cut back and save money? Use the same ones or buy new ones from year to year? I think it's more of, it's not, I would be shocked. I could be wrong. Others would know better than me. I would be shocked if it's a financial thing. I think it's a Nike thing. Heard on the SEC podcast that Arch went to Texas because he felt too much pressure would be on him to win big at Ole Miss. Well, it's a good thing he chose a place with no pressure to win like Texas. Preseason media rankings are nothing more than fun banter points. I agree. We'll be as good as the defense is. Austin will probably be better than okay, but we'll make rookie mistakes. Going to be fun no matter what. Yeah. Good to see you, Jerry. Always good to see you. Was a student manager undercut. It was an interesting time. He had such a dry, off-the-cuff sense of humor, even when they were getting smacked during games. Was there anything that you learned at Media Days that made you say, and who was the one person you didn't get to interview that you wish you had? Good questions. Anything I learned at Media Days that made me say, that is a good question. Let me think on that. I'll answer your second question. The person you didn't get to interview that you wish that you had. Jaden Proctor from Alabama, I thought was hilarious. I obviously didn't get to interview him, but I would have loved to have been the guy that would have had the quote about him having 170 different bottles of cologne, because guys his size, people think that guys his size are stinky, but he wants to put the record out there that he's not stinky like big guys, like people think big guys are. It's like, I wish that would have been, I wish that would have been on Sports Talk Mississippi, you know? I also saw a moment with him. So in like when he was going from one room to the next, just kind of like behind everything, I was actually walking to the bathroom of all things and saw him. There was a group there and they all had, I don't remember what the company was. And I hate that I don't, because it was clearly like a charity organization of some kind that had a young boy there. I don't know, but looked like a charity organization with a young boy with them. And when Proctor walked out of one of the rooms, the leader of this group was like, "Hey, you know, Jaden, I've got," and I forget the young, Caden, not Jaden. I keep saying Jaden, Caden Proctor. He's like, "Hey, I've got this young boy here. He's a big Alabama fan," whatever. And that 5 minutes, he was incredible. Like, clearly did not expect anybody to like stop him like that. You can tell he was like taken off guard, but immediately jumped into like, "Hey, what's up, man? How you doing?" And like gave him like a big hug and was talking to him and was incredibly engaging with this little boy. And like he gained a fan, out of me that day, for sure. Just seeing the human side of what people think are football playing robots was really cool. He was awesome with this young boy, and cameras weren't around. Nobody was watching, right? This was a very raw behind the scenes, this is what he's really like kind of guy. And he was awesome with this young boy, made his day. It was really cool. Just looked at Missouri's schedule. Wow. Yeah. It's as easy as an SEC schedule in this era can be. I'll read it for you guys. Central Arkansas, Kansas. Now that'll be a tough game, but that's at home. Louisiana, South Carolina, and UMass to open the season. They open with 5 consecutive home games. Six. They have an off week and host Alabama. They go to Auburn and Vanderbilt, have an off week, host A&M and Mississippi State before they end the season with Oklahoma and Arkansas. They avoid Georgia. They avoid Texas. They avoid LSU. They avoid Ole Miss. Their road games are Auburn, Vanderbilt, Oklahoma, and Arkansas. Only one of those teams had a winning record a year ago, and it was Vanderbilt. So, there you go. Is there anything more boring than summer league basketball? Holy smokes. Speak for yourself, man. No, look, if you're not a fan of a team, then it's a bunch of guys that either rookies that just got drafted or guys that are going to be playing in the G League. But I get a lot out of it watching the Pelicans draftees. And yeah, Zayden Williams going to be the guy for State? He might be. Yeah, he might be. There's a lot of potential, talent potential in State's wide receiver room. Very little actual production. Cutcliffe would have done better with a different AD, not one that was making it about a profit and turning that profit, then turn that profit over to the school instead of the athletic programs. Did anyone see that video of Jackson Dart hitting the guy with a 100-yard pass on a wave runner? Yeah, and the guy dropped the ball. He dropped the ball. Perfect throw on the money. Great clip. And you dropped the ball. Oh, man. Almost gets new uniforms every year. Have since the 90s. The designs don't change dramatically because they're such a traditional design. Yeah, I don't understand, though, why they can't have three different pairs of white pants with stripes, though. I don't understand that part. It doesn't appear that they've made that change for this season either, based on the picture day situation. Yeah. Make sure you tell Hey Dad that his outfit looks great next time you see him. Well, I'll see him tomorrow, of course. And yeah, I will, because apparently I said the word outfit when we were talking about how Arch had his dad fly out to Texas to pick out what he wore for media day, even though he dressed like a pledge. And I called it an outfit. Hey, that was like, no man should say the word outfit. I was like, okay. All right, guy. Storage space is an issue. Then build a little bit more space for 100 more pairs of pants. I mean, I could fit 100 pairs of pants in this little closet right over here. Isn't that right, Maverick? You guys see my dog sleeping right there? That's not supposed to be a couch that he's on. Got a dog in a Spidey Kids blanket on this couch behind me now. What has my life become? I don't know. You guys enjoy the rest of your Sunday. I appreciate you being here, and we'll be back again. I've got something for you tomorrow. It's Sankey's answers to my questions about fans. We'll see what you think about it. And then Tuesday we'll be back live as well. So appreciate you guys, and I'll talk to you again on tomorrow. Talk to you tomorrow. See you then.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.